It makes no difference how many get saved. I think we need to get as many people saved as we can, but you never, never, ever underestimate the power of one soul being saved. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 6. I want to share with you a thought this morning. I believe all of you here would agree with me that you believe the Bible is the Word of God. I have a commission by God to preach the whole counsel of God, and I'll just go ahead and tell you this morning, this is not one of them feel-good messages, but it's a message of truth, and I pray if you listen and let God speak to your hearts, you'll see the truth that the Word of God has. And friend, if we understand that this is the Word of God, then we have a responsibility to obey it and do what the Bible says do. So if you have your Bibles, I'll give you a moment to turn there, but I'm interested in a great truth that we find in the Word of God, and it's in this matter of sowing and reaping. The farmer goes out and he begins to plant a crop and get that crop ready to go. And in doing so, we find that he expects success in what he does. Very, very importantly, we all would think that it would be important that we prayed for a good crop. However, I believe that many times that we may find ourselves in positions for praying for a failed crop because literally we don't want to reap what we sow. But I want to share with you that principle today, and I hope it will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart as we look at it together. The Bible said, beginning in Galatians number 6 and verse number 7, said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth in the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." You know, the Bible, as we come to this truth, and we find, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together and, Lord, to study your word today. And I do pray that you would just have your will and way. I pray that you'd guide and direct in our lives. Give me the wisdom. Give me the clarity of mind. And, Lord, help me to get through this lot of information that we have here today. And, Lord, help us to be receptive to the truth. Lord, help us to erase from our mind any thought of what we're going to do when we leave here. Lord, help us to get our mind on you and upon the word of God and understanding the consequences of sowing badly and the consequences of sowing things that are good. We ask now that your will be done. Guide and direct, we pray, and we thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, amen. I think we'd find it hard to find anybody that would disagree with the principle of reaping or sowing and reaping. I want to share with you the Bible. I believe this is a Bible message this morning, and I pray all my messages are Bible messages, but you can argue with me, but you can't argue with the Word of God. I may make a mistake, and I may say things, and I do that quite often. But friend, when I read it straight from the Word of God, you cannot argue with what the Bible says. Now, for sake of time this morning, I'm not going to have you to turn to these verses. You may want to jot them down. But we find in the Bible that it mentions many times things about it. It says in Job chapter 4 and verse 8, it said, "Even as I have seen, they have plowed iniquity and sow wickedness, reap the same." The chronological order of this was the first mention of this truth, that the Bible proves sowing to sin does not profit our lives. Hosea chapter 8 and verse number 7, "For they have sown to the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up." Friend, again, I remind you this morning of the truth, you will reap what you sow. Now, the sad part about that, and even what we just read is sad, but now we find four verses that mentions in the Bible that tells us that parents will reap what they sow in their children in generations to follow. If there's anything more precious to me today, it's my children and my grandchildren, for which I'm grateful for. And the worst thing in the world that I would want would some evil or ill fall upon them simply because of my sowing and doing something that was contrary to the Word of God. Listen what the Bible has to say. In Exodus 20 and verse number 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me." Before you go committing sin, you better take into consideration all those who will be involved involved in that. In Exodus 34, verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. In Numbers chapter 14, verse number 18, the Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You get it? Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying literally, if you reap evil, if you sow evil, you're going to reap evil, and it's not only going to affect you, but it's going to affect your children and those around about you. I'm afraid today that there's a lot of people, the way they're living a life, and they're praying for crop failure, because truly today, many people does not want to reap what they're sowing. I believe about 90% of the people today, even that profess to be Christians, are living in such a way. I'm not saying they're living in a flagrant sin, but I believe many are living a worldly life, ignoring the truth of the Word of God, the things of God, the house of God, respect to God, and in doing so, they do not understand that they're going to reap the results down the road that may affect even the very most precious thing in their life, their children. Remember what James said about those who are worldly Christians. He said in James 4 and verse 4, and listen, this is pretty strong, but he said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. God said that a Christian who lives worldly is an enemy of God. Friend, I'm just telling you what the Bible says this morning, and I want you to let it sink in, and I want you to understand that's why God wants us to be subject to His Word and understanding the truths that He set before us. In verse number 7, in the first part of that, I want you, if you would, first of all, to consider a serious reprimand. A serious reprimand. The Bible said, be not deceived. I'm convinced today that we have a lot of people today that are deceived in many ways. And we need to understand the reprimand that God gives us. The word deceived means to be misled, led into error, beguiled, cheated, or deluded, to cause one to stray, to lead one astray, or lead them aside from the right way. The Bible in the phrase said, be not deceived. Friend, today we as Christians, why do we come to the house of God? We come in order that we might hear the Word of God. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The reason we hear the Word of God, or should hear the Word of God, is because we want to hear the Word of God, so we know how to live and know how to act. And the Bible very plainly teaches us that we ought not be deceived in our life. The imperative expresses a command to the hearer to perform a certain act by order and authority of the one that commands it. Friend, this is not me telling you to be not deceived. This is God through His Word telling you to be not deceived. Thus Jesus said in Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. That is not an invitation, but literally it's an absolute command requiring full obedience on the part of the sinner. Now, I want you to know today, I'm not saying today that God does not want us to enjoy life and have a wonderful time. In fact, He said He came that we might have life, and we might have it what? More abundantly. I'm enjoying the abundant life of the Lord. But I'm also interested in this principle that He sets aside in the Word of God, or of reaping what we sow. The explicit warning implies that you can be deceived. And I believe today that there are many people that are deceived. We must therefore honestly, earnestly, and very actively seek not to be deceived. We need to pull the shades from over our eyes. We need to quit hiding our head in the sand. I tell you, we need to understand the truth that is set before us today in all that we do. First of all, notice we can be deceived, and the first way that we can be deceived is deceived by the devil. This applies to the saved as well as the sinner. The devil tells the saved, he said, well, you know, it looks good, and it's not so much bad compared to everything else. You know, we get to the point where somebody said, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else is. That's not the idea here. The idea here is that we don't get deceived by the devil. The Bible said, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells you the sinner. He said, if you get saved, you won't have no fun. You won't have any friends. Let me tell you something. I had more fun the last 32 years or 40 years, however long I've been in the ministry, because of good people that God's placed in my way to be my friends and to help me along the way. But the old devil said, oh, you can't have fun to a bunch of squares. Listen, God wants you to have a good time. Is that true? God does want you to have a good time, but he wants you to have it in the Lord. And understand, friend, anybody that knows the principle of sowing or planting and reaping, they know the principle is nobody wants a bad crop normally unless they've done something that has been deceived them. Jesus said of the devil, he's a liar and the father of it, according to John 8:44. We find that he's out to deceive, he's out to defile, and he's out to devour us any way that we can. And I can tell you right now, there's somebody in this building, probably right now, the devil's done got on your shoulder and said, there goes that preacher. He's off on that tangent again. He's trying to scare us. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. It ought to scare the daylight side of us if you stop and think about the cost of disobeying God and walking against his will. We must not be deceived, not by the devil, but we must not be deceived by our desires. You know, someone may be saying, preacher, there are things that I want and things I want to do. And you just kind of have an idea that you want to do them and you're going to do them. Verse number 26, look at it, chapter 5. The Bible said, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another or envying one another. Notice the phrase, desirous of vainglory. You know, our goal today in everything we do, it ought to be to God be the glory, great things he has done. We live in society today, people want popularity. They want to be recognized. They want to make great strides and become well known. Friend, I tell you, as a child of God, the thing that needs to be, or the person that needs to be made well known, is the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came and died on an old rugged cross. He gave his life literally to give us salvation in order that we might live for him. But yet today, there's people that are sowing in this world the seeds that are going to bring forth a reaping that's going to result in maybe their family or their children or somewhere down the line, and one day, believe me, you're going to regret what you're doing if you don't turn back to God and trust him. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 11:16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. In other words, I tell you today, it's amazing to me to see how people's ideas change about God and about the house of God and the things of God through the years. They say, well, I don't believe that anymore, and I believe this, and I want to do this, and this is what I think. It makes no difference what you think, or makes no difference what I think. What makes a difference is what God says in the Word of God. And he said, be not deceived. Friend, I'm not trying to be ugly this morning. I'm not trying to be hard. I just want you to get it. I want you to understand today that you are playing with fire when you go against the commands of God and do the things that he says that we ought not to do. And I tell you, to me, when I tell you, I don't know that I'd ever really grasp a hold of it as much as I did this week as I began last Monday working on this message. And when I realized the preciousness of my children and the preciousness of my grandchildren, I said, God, please, don't let me be deceived. Don't let me fail. Don't let me fall. Don't let me falter. Help me to be strong and help me, Lord. I know I'm not perfect, and I know he does not expect us. He realizes we're not perfect. And thank God he forgives us when we sin. But he just tells us, don't be deceived. And friend, it breaks my heart today, people that have been deceived and turned away from God. They say today, many young people going off to college, they don't believe. They were raised in church, went to church, heard the Word of God all their life, and now all of a sudden they don't believe it anymore. I tell you, the reason they don't believe it is because they've been deceived. And the Bible commands us, be not deceived. Second thing I want you to consider this morning is a sovereign revelation. A sovereign revelation. First, he said, be not deceived. Second, he says, God is not mocked. I'm going to tell you, it's okay if you mock me. It's okay if you make fun of me. It's okay if you talk about me. Not that I want you to, and not that it would be anything that I liked. But I'm going to tell you, you're treading on dangerous ground when you begin to mock God, the Word of God, and the things of God by the way you live and the things you do. The word God is not mocked means that He cannot be imposed on or mocked. He knows what our real character is, and He's going to judge us accordingly. Today, you said, well, preacher, it don't matter what you think. You're right. It doesn't matter what I think. But it does matter what God thinks. And we need to understand today, God is not mocked. The sense is that God could not be imposed on, could not be insulted with impunity or successfully mocked. I think when He hung on the cross, they mocked Him and they spat upon Him and they made fun of Him and they did all of those things. But yet He was there dying for you and I. But you understand, you may mock God, but you're not going to get to Him, to the fact that you understand He's going to judge you one day. You'll never stand before me and give an account of anything that you've done. I will stand before God and give an account of everything I've done toward you as far as giving you the truth, the Word of God. That's why I'm making sure I'm preaching this message this morning, because I believe that's what God wanted me to preach. And I believe I'll be responsible one day for what I tell you. But you know, the Bible said God is not mocked. The Bible said in Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock of sin. The word fool comes from a word that means growing thick of fluid. The word was used to speak of a thick-headed person who refused to listen to counsel. You know, I remember they say mules are about the dumbest things you can get. I never plowed one. My daddy did. And I've heard him say sometime, you know, you had to get a two-by-four and hit him upside the head. Well, I'm glad, you know, I wasn't that stubborn-headed, but had to hit him upside the head to get their attention because they're so set in their ways. But unfortunately today, there's a lot of Christians that are so set in their ways, their desires of their own glory, and they make a mock of sin. You know, people laugh and they say, well, you know, y'all believe this and you think you got to live right and you think you got to do right and you think you got to do all those things. Yes, we do, because we believe the Bible teaches that you need to obey God and do what God says, because God will not be mocked. And the man that mocks God is a fool. I didn't say that. He did. Notice, the fool fails to see the mark that sin leaves. The fool fails to see the mark that sin leaves. I'm telling you, it's ugly. The Bible said in Proverbs 14:34, it makes clear that sin leaves a mark. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I don't think that's hard to figure out. We're living in a day and age which we're seeing the reproach of the people in America and all over the world today, because righteousness no longer exalteth the nation, and people have turned away from God. They've taken prayer out of school. They've signed up for abortions right up to the last minute. They've come across in anything they want to do, and believe me, sin will leave a mark. Many people today, tragically, have lived their lives marked by sin. I'm here today to tell you, we serve a forgiving God, and I don't care how far you go, and I don't care where you are at in life. I serve a God in heaven that as long as you got breath in your body and a desire to be forgiven, God will forgive you and draw you back into the fold. But you cannot erase the scars that occur in your life. You go out, young ladies go out and commit immorality, fall into sin, and I'm telling you, you're going to be marked for the rest of your life. There's a number of ways that you may be marked, but you're going to be marred, you're going to be defiled, you're going to be stained. It's going to leave an ugly mark upon your life. And the Bible plainly tells us, be not deceived. It tells us God is not and God will not be mocked. David spoke of the mark that sin leaves in Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Once sin is committed and God's law is violated, there's a mark. I don't care. You can give forgiveness. Thank God for that. But it's manifested in a variety of ways, but it leaves an ugly mark upon your life. I know people today, and some of you could probably stand and say, there was a time that I was addicted to drugs. I'm clean now. God's given me victory over it, and I don't have any desire anymore to do that, but you'd admit that the drug habit you had left scars in your life. The drunkard is left with a shattered life. damage to vital organs. The pornographer is left with a mind warped by immorality. The murderer is left with a cold grave which houses his victim. The Bible said, be not deceived. Sin always, always leaves its mark. And friend, you can go out of this building today and you can see people all around this town. You know people yourself that at one time they were very successful people. But I tell you, the marks of sin have taken their toll. Thank God for some that come back. But yet, it's unfortunate today that we don't take seriously the reprimand that God gives us when he says, be not deceived, and what can happen in our life. And by the way, the mark of sin, it may affect our children and our children's children and right on down the line. Be not deceived. Second of all, notice the fool fails to see the misery that sin loves. The fool fails to see misery. I'm going to tell you today, anybody that's ever lived in sin, you can say it's fun if you want to, but if you're honest, you'd have to say there's a lot of misery that goes along with it. Unhappiness, if you will. Loneliness, if you will. A torment in your life. Oftentimes, sin comes dressed in an adorable disguise, and we play with it, and how easy it is to say, it looks so good, it'll be different for me. I'll be able to control that. I'll be able to take care of that. But James warns in James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Many justify their known acts of sin by saying, it's nobody's business. You can say that you want to, and you're right. You said it's none of your business. Well, it kind of is a little bit of my business because God instructed me to preach this message to you today, and by the divine authority invested in me, I'm going to do what he said to you. But I'm not meddling, I'm not coming to you, and I'm not judging, not pointing any fingers, have nobody particular in mind. I'm just simply saying today, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Many justify their actions. Oh, it's personal. That's between me and God. You're right. At least you got that right. You haven't been deceived by that. You understand that one day you will give an account to God. Paul explained his misery, Galatians 6, in verse 7 and 8. He said, but he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And I don't know anybody that wants that. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Simply put, sin always has consequences. Sin always brings a payday. Many remember the great old Southern Baptist preacher R.G. Lee. Go home and Google it and look it up and listen to it. He preached a message entitled Payday Someday. And friend, everybody that stands here today will one day stand before God. And I don't care, you say, you may think you've got by with it. You may think that it's okay. You know, God doesn't think that's too bad. But one day you're going to give an account in your life. The man God calls a fool fails to examine the reproach of sin and the reaping of sin and what it brings. Thirdly and quickly, consider with me in the other third part of verse 7, consider a sure reaping. The Bible said, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's sure. Nobody, did you hear me? Nobody is overlooked. Nobody is bypassed. It's going to happen, just sure as I'm standing here today, as well as to all ages. No one is exempt from the principle of reaping and sowing. Our little children need to be taught that they're going to reap what they sow. Our teenagers need to be taught they're going to reap what they sow. Young adults need to realize they're going to reap what they sow. And friend, I'm telling you, the scars of sin are not worth allowing the devil in your desires to deceive you in any possible way. I want to look back at two things revealed here in this portion of Scripture. He said, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What does he mean, soweth? He's talking about the product that you sow. Notice the little word here, that. For whatsoever a man soweth, that. That the word speaks of what is being sown, and it means the same or exactly what has been sown will be reaped. So, if you're enjoying it and you're having a good time and you're sowing evil, behold, one day you're going to reap evil. And the thing you loved at the time, you're going to hate when it comes to reaping time. Simply put, you plant a garden, you plant tomatoes, you won't reap potatoes. No, you're going to exactly reap what you plant, and that's what's going to come forth. Notice not only the product of what you reap, but notice the production of what is sown. Now, the principle of sowing and reaping, you always reap what you've sown. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." I don't think that ought to be any consolation to us, that if we don't sow too much evil, we won't reap too much evil. The fact is evil, and evil will destroy your lives, although there seems to be some truth that is set forth there in understanding if you sow good things, you'll reap good things. And if you sow a lot of them, you'll reap bountifully. And so again, understand the importance of the product, what you're sowing. And friend, today, listen, I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age which we're seeing people turning away from God right and left. I tell you today, I'm thankful for the number of folks we got here, but honestly, I tell you today, that there's no reason why that this building couldn't be filled and even to bust the walls out and just see people here because they wanted to hear God. They wanted to hear what God said they needed to do. And yet sin has destroyed their life. I've often preached it, and I probably hardly ever preach a message that I don't preach this, or I quote this little outline that a preacher by the name of Randy Ray preached years ago. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And I tell you today, we could probably go to the nursing home. We could probably go to the jail. And believe me, we're going to YDC tomorrow night. And there's some of those kids that are wishing they wasn't in the place they're in. But the only way they can avoid that is start reaping that or sowing that which is good instead of that which is bad. Lastly today, consider a simple reality in verses 7 through 10. I've already read it, but he that soweth the flesh shall love the flesh, reap corruption, but he that soweth the spirit shall love the spirit, reap life everlasting. But going down to verse number 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially them who are the household or faith. The simple reality is sooner or later, you're going to get what you deserve. Now, I want to give you some good news this morning. We all deserve hell. But if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we don't have to go to hell. Jesus paid the price for everything that we've committed. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to get a just recompense. According to Hebrews 2:2, you're going to get a just recompense of reward. That means you're going to get exactly what you deserve. From a just God, you're going to reap what you sow. Thank God, though it's not all negative here, though there is some positive. You said, well, it's about time. I'm glad you finally got to that. Look at verse number 8, the first part of verse number 8. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I remind you what I read as I begin the message today in Job 4, verse 8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness shall reap the same. Hosea 8:7, I've already read, for they have sown to the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. I think you get the idea. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. There's no confusion here in this statement. Do you believe the Bible this morning? Do you believe God says what He means and means what He says? Do you have any fear in your heart? And the Bible said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people today that are not acting very wisely because they're not understanding the truth of what He's saying here. The corruption, the word implies, to be, is the saved moral decay of a sinner in his eternal misery, especially if he's lost. Well, he's a sinner who never trusted Christ, his misery in hell. But you understand today, there's people who go through life and they never trust Christ. They're going to get exactly what they've sown. But notice, if you would, the positive side of it. We find in the latter part of verse number 8, the Bible said, "Ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and to the beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?" You observe days and months. I'm reading in chapter 4. I know y'all wondering where I'm at, but it sounded good. It went right along with what we was preaching. Let me go back to where I'm at. I'm getting my pages mixed up. But he says, but he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And he said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, there's a lot of people, I've seen it through the years, people get weary in well-doing. Preacher, I'm just tired. I just can't do it no more. I just don't have the time. I just can't. I don't have the energy. And I'm getting there. I understand a little bit. When you get older, things change. And I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people that still have a whole life ahead of them, but they cannot understand the importance of the positive of giving their life to the Lord. There's a reason to live for God. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. The Bible said in Numbers 32:23, this is the Bible, be sure your sins will find you out. I believe everybody in this building said, preacher, I'm man enough to take responsibility for my own problems. And if God wants to judge me and God wants to punish me, then I'm willing to accept that because I'm going to do what I want to do. Yep. But I'm going to tell you, how many times have I heard, and I'm not saying it was because of, but I've seen little children laying on their deathbed and the parent weeping and crying and saying, God, if you just take me, please leave my little baby and let her have her life and let her have her life to live and take me. I'm old and you can take me. We have no choice in what God sends when reaping time comes. We reap what we sow. And friend, today we better wake up and we better understand the seriousness of the matter of serving God. Friend, today I'm not saying today I don't believe we ought to walk around acting like we're holier than everybody else. I don't think that's the right way to go. But I tell you what it is. It's people seeing the righteousness of God in our life and understanding the consequences of sin. And what happens when we sow the bad things, we're going to reap the bad things. Don't be surprised. I've stood by people's bed and they said, preacher, I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't either. I would never be the judge of that. But God does. And we just have to trust Him. So what are you going to do? You're going to continue to walk in darkness? You're going to continue to be deceived? You're going to continue to jeopardize your life and your family and your friends and your neighbors? Or are you going to continue to do that? Well, preacher, I'm just going to do what I want to do. God forbid, that's all I got to say. But God help us today to repent. Turn back to God. Let me tell you, the best years of my life has been serving the Lord Jesus Christ for almost 40 years. And I'm thankful for every minute of it. And I pray by the grace of God today that He get our attention. I don't want to hit, no, we're not going to hit nobody upside the head with a 2x4, I promise you that. In fact, when you go out the door today, I'm not going to be better beating you over the head. I'm just simply saying today, Jesus stands ready and says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a tremendous truth in the Word of God. But we got to grasp it, we got to receive it, and we got to practice it in our life. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege. Lord, I know this is not a message that people enjoy.